Let's take our Bibles together this morning. Turn to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. Talking about the treasure of motherhood. I don't know a lot about being a mother, but I know I have a mother. And I have a wife that's a good mother. And praise the Lord for that. We're going to see what the Bible says this morning about mothers. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the same of Jeraham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned, came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mothers that we have. Father, we know that you have a perfect purpose in each one of our lives. You have placed us in the homes that you wanted us to be in. You've given us the mothers you want us to have because you're trying to build things in our lives and grow us in certain areas of our life. And you use our mothers to do that. Father, we thank you for how you work. Father, as we look at how you have guided mothers through history, how you've used mothers, help us to understand what you say about mothers and how we need to honor them. Because of the position that you've given to them. We thank you for what you will teach us. Pray you help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. But I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and in Ephesians 6, verse 2, that we're to honor our mothers. And that's something we're to do all the time. We are to show respect by our attitudes, our love, our obedience to them. But today we set aside a special time to honor our mothers. We remember the care they took of us. We remember the sacrifices they made for us, the little things they did to make memories. I remember one little thing that just came to my mind is every day when I went to school, my mother would have this little brown bag, and she'd pack me a lunch every day, faithfully. See, that's kind of a frivolous thing, yeah, but it reminds me of my mother. And she took care, and every day doing that. And sometimes she didn't have everything she needed to make that little lunch, so she would bring it to school. She took the care that I needed in that little thing. We remember her as our nurse when we were hurting, when we got hurt. She'd get that Band-Aid out, and she'd make it all better. Sometimes she'd kiss it. She'd make it all better. She was our counselor. She's our friend, our protector. When we were bullied, maybe, she said, it'll be okay. She's our teacher. She was our corrector. She had to be. And there's so much more we remember about our mothers. But God has given mothers a very important role in the life of each of their children. And though there may be some who would say, well, my mother was not a good mother, that doesn't negate the fact that we still are supposed to honor our mothers. Because God uses mothers to influence a generation that no one else can influence. So this morning I want us to notice, what does the Bible say about mothers? What does the Bible say about the influence of a mother? Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible tells us that Eve was the mother of all living. And you think about the decision that Eve made and how that she thought about, oh boy, what have I done? But God had given her a special responsibility, a special position as the mother of all living. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 12, Sarah is told, you will be the mother of many nations. Again, a great responsibility, great position. In 1 Kings chapter 1, if you turn over with me, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 15, we see another mother pleading on behalf of her son. 1 Kings 1, verse 15. It says, and Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? She said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now my lord the king, and thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And so Bathsheba says, David, I need to plead with you on behalf of my son. And so she pleads with him on Solomon's behalf. And then we see in chapter 15 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 15. Verse 2. I start at verse 1. It says, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Okay. Look at chapter 2 or chapter 15, verse 10. 41 years reigned he. You're talking about Asa. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the son of Abishalom. Same mother. Okay. But look at the difference here. There's the same mother, two different sons, but each of them went a different path. Look back to verse 3. Abijam, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. So he did not follow God. He did not obey God. He did not honor God. Look at verse 11. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. But look at verse 13. And also his mother, Micah, his mother. Even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. And so even here we have the same mother, two sons taking a different path. But it was a part of it was the influence of the mother. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 22, you see another mother. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 51. 1 Kings 22:51 says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. You don't see it recorded very often. As you go through the books of the kings, you don't see it recorded very often that he walked in the ways of his mother. Who was Ahaziah's mother? Jezebel. What do we know about Jezebel? She was very set on and promoting the worship of Baal. That's how Ahaziah walked. He walked in the ways of his mother. He followed Baal. He worshiped Baal. Several times in the book of Matthew, Mary is described as Jesus' mother. And it's not so that we can raise her up to deity. It's because she was a mother. And she is to be honored as a mother, okay? And yes, she was in a very important position. We're to honor her for that, but not to put her to the point of deity, okay? Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, the mother of James and John comes to Jesus and says, I have a request to make of you. I'd like one of my sons to sit on your right hand on your left in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. That's not mine to give. And I had a mother requesting and making requests of Jesus. And there's a lot more passages we talk about mothers. And you probably noticed a mother has a great influence on her children. Let's look at what the Bible says about the influence of a mother. There are several ways that a mother can influence her children according to the Bible. And if we look at these, you'll notice a lot of these are going to be learned by example instead of by instruction. A lot of them are going to be caught rather than taught. And so let's look at some of these. First of all, a way that a mother can influence their children is in their walk with the Lord. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, a mother can influence her children in their walk with the Lord. 1 Samuel 1 verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah had no one else to turn to. She couldn't turn to her husband. He couldn't fix the problem that she was barren. She definitely couldn't turn to this other wife. She wasn't helping the situation at all by her continual provocation. And so what does she do? She cries out to the Lord. She says, Lord, I hurt. Lord, I'm grieving. Lord, I want a child. And so she cries out to the Lord. It shows that Hannah had a relationship with the Lord. Hannah had a walk with the Lord because she went to the Lord with this request. And by the fact that she was devoted to fulfilling her vow and ministering to Samuel, even as he ministered in the temple many miles away, every year she would go and she would minister to Samuel by bringing him a little coat. It showed that she had that walk with the Lord, but she showed she also had an influence upon him. I believe Samuel remained faithful to the Lord in part because of his mother's faithfulness, because of his mother's walk with the Lord and her own fellowship with the Lord. Another one, some verses we see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." In chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." And so the implication here is when it says, forsake not the law of thy mother, listen to the law of thy mother. It's saying that mother is one who is walking with the Lord. Forsake not the law of God that your mother is following, that your mother is walking in. And so we're to realize that mothers have an influence on their children's walk with the Lord. And as a mother obeys God's word, as they follow his word, she has the opportunity to instill in them that same desire to walk with God. I'm so thankful for my wife and how she has taught our children and she's instructed our children. They're to get up in the morning and before they eat breakfast, they're to have their Bible time. And we have emphasized that. She has been strong about emphasizing that because a lot of times I wasn't home. I was at work already, but she would emphasize that our children were get up, have their Bible time, and then have breakfast. And she would instill in them Bible verses in their school time. So I'm so thankful for that and that she's been able to have that influence in their lives. Mothers have a special influence on their children for the Lord because they're often around them more than the father is during their formative years. So they can take that time, those young years, and they can influence their children for the Lord. It was my mother who, when my dad was at work, and my older brother and my older sister were off to school, and my mother and I were at home, and I got to thinking about the other day, my younger brother would have been there home too, but he was probably sleeping. He was only a little baby. But my mother was the one who led me to the Lord. And that day on March 30th, 1972, I remember my mom explaining to me, sitting on the couch, explaining to me how to be saved. It was my own mother's being able to do that and show me that. And I'm so thankful. We've seen some negative examples of a mother's influence in their walk away from the Lord. We saw Jezebel, we saw Micah, and how they influence their children away from the Lord. That's something that we want to avoid. But a mother can influence her children in their walk with the Lord. Another way a mother can influence her children is in truthfulness. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. Truthfulness. Genesis 27, 1 says, "It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. He said unto him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. We look back in Genesis 25:28. We see that Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. So there's that favoritism that was shown there. And I'm sure that that didn't help anything in the relationship between the two brothers. But in chapter 7, we see that Rebekah formulates a plan in order to deceive Isaac so that Jacob could get the blessing. And the deception not only caused hatred between the two brothers, but it also caused problems that affected Jacob's relationship with Laban. It also caused problems when Jacob's sons lied to him about Joseph. And so the fact that Rebekah did not influence Jacob for truthfulness, but rather deceit, affected Joseph many years to follow. And so it's important for a mother to influence her children for truthfulness. Another way a mother can influence her children is in faithfulness. Children must be taught to be faithful to their responsibilities. That's another area where the mother is able to be a good example to them. As they see the mother faithfully fulfilling her duties in the home, keeping her commitments as she has made, and being faithful to her husband, they will learn the value of faithfulness. And let me read a verse for you. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27, says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness." And so this mother is faithful to her family, is faithful to the needs of her family. And so a mother can influence her children for faithfulness as well. Another area that goes along with faithfulness is diligence. I remember several years ago when the world's idea of a housewife and mother was to sit around all day and watch soap operas. Okay, that's not the picture that we get in Proverbs 31. Look at Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 25. See if you get the same picture that the world had. It isn't the same picture. Proverbs 31, verse 13, describing the virtuous woman. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." You say, but how is she able to do anything? She's got so many responsibilities, but she was diligent. She had a testimony of being diligent. And a mother who is diligent will have a great influence on her children toward that same virtue. And as their children see their mother and they're seeing they're faithful and diligent in the responsibilities, they will follow that. Another way that a mother can influence her children is in edifying speech. Again, Proverbs 31, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness." Back in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, we see the influence of right words. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." In Proverbs 25, verse 11, another verse that talks about the effect of right words. Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." Now, a mother speaks to her children will often determine how the children will respond to each other. There are times when a firm tone of voice is necessary, but it should always be done with an obvious heart of love for what is best for that child. So a mother can influence their children by edifying speech. And then the one other thing that mother can influence her children is in a love for others. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "We're to walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 4. It says, talking about the elderly women here, but it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And one of the things that's the most important for mothers to teach their children is to love others. But that's going to be seen mostly by example. One of the things I watched my parents exemplify so many times as I was growing up was their love for others. We knew they loved us, but they also showed a love and concern for the needs of others. We weren't wealthy in material things. My parents didn't make a lot of money. But they had a wealth of people that showed love to them, and that's due to the love that they showed toward others. I remember our home was sometimes like a revolving door. And we'd have people come into our homes that just my parents would minister to. I was able to talk to one of those just back in January. She was at my mother's 80th birthday. We knew her when she was in Alaska. And I was in high school, and just being able to visit with her again and see how the Lord's using her and the Lord's doing in her life. But it was because of my parents' love for them. They taught us how to love others. I'm thankful for that example. I'm thankful the Lord has helped me to see the value of that. So we see the different areas that a mother can influence their children. But what about the influence, thirdly, what about the influence of the older generation? Look at Titus chapter 2 again. You may look back on the time when your children were younger and you wish you could have done something different. We all have those thoughts as parents. We wish we could have done something different back then. But what can be done to help the next generation? Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. The word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." We look at the influence of an older generation and we think about younger families, and we think for those younger families, it's so important that they glean the wisdom and experience from the older generation. A lot of people think, oh, they're no good anymore. They're absolutely valuable. They're invaluable. To glean that wisdom and experience from the older generation. There's so many things that we can learn from them. And then finally, I want to talk to the rest of us this morning about honoring our mothers. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Mothers are to be honored. Why? First of all, because God commands it. There ought to be no other excuse, other reason that we need. But we're to be honor our mothers because God commands it. But also because God has placed them as an authority in our lives. And the Bible tells us, obey them that have the rule over you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. They may do it with joy and not with grief. And so we are to honor our mothers because God has placed them as an authority in our lives. We are to honor our mothers because it shows our love and appreciation of them. I'm thankful that my mother is still alive and I can call her and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." In other words, many of you don't have your mothers alive. But you can thank God for the mother he gave you, for the things that a mother was able to influence you toward the Lord in. And you can honor your mother. But one other reason we are to honor our mothers is because it encourages their heart. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." It encourages a mother's heart when a child comes and says, "Happy Mom, Happy Mother's Day, Mom." Mothers have a difficult responsibility. Not only do they have to carry us around for 9 months, but they have to birth us. And then they have to put up with us during our childhood. Then they have to put up with us during our teen years. But God gives them a special grace to do that and strength to do that. And for that, we should be thankful and show honor to them. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that you are in control of all things. We thank you have a perfect purpose in each one of our lives, and we thank you for the mothers you've given us. Father, help us to honor our mothers today because of the fact that you tell us to. because of who, where you've placed them in the position of authority over our lives, because we need to show that love and appreciation for them, but also because it encourages their heart. We thank you for what you taught us this morning. Pray that you would be honored and glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.